The number 400 has a special place in baseball history. While baseball's best hitters routinely bat 300, batting 400 in a season has been exceptional. And because batters today are so fixated on home runs and on average, it's a feat that baseball may never see again. The last player to hit 400 was the Negro Leagues' Josh Gibson, who hit a remarkable 466 in 1943. The last National League player to hit 400 was the New York Giants' Bill Terry, who hit 401 in 1930. In the American League, Ted Williams became the last Major League 400 hitter when he batted 406 in 1941. No Major League batter has reached 400 in over 80 years. I never came close to batting 400 in my playing days on Little League and Sandlot Fields, but with today's commentary, I've reached the 400th broadcast of Reading Baseball. Brad Palmer, who's been my partner on Reading Baseball from the very beginning, has been keeping count that when he told me about the approaching 400th broadcast, I thought he looked more wistful than excited. I have to admit that I'm amazed that Reading Baseball has lasted this long. I may have a face for radio, but my voice sounds like an aging Howdy Doody. I'm also not very good at reading the commentaries. Brad, with his electronic wizardry, has often had to correct my bloopers. He could probably put together a blooper reel if I didn't curse every time I screwed up. Another problem that I have is that I'm intimidated by the microphone. I taught classes for over 30 years, delivered talks from Carbondale to Cooperstown, but I never feel relaxed when I tape a Reading Baseball commentary or story. Maybe it's because I can't see an audience out there, though listeners do come up to me on occasion to ask if I'm the Reading Baseball guy. While it's comforting to know that Reading Baseball does have an audience, the most rewarding thing about Reading Baseball over the years is getting to know terrific people at WSIU like Jeff Williams, Jennifer Fuller, and of course Brad Palmer. In so many ways, we've become a Reading Baseball family, along with Jeff Ritter of the Carbondale Times. Of course, the person who has had the most influence on the Reading Baseball series is my wife, Anita. After I included her in a Reading Baseball commentary, listeners came up to me and said they liked the one with Anita in it. Some have even said, I don't like baseball, but I like what Anita says. After boring Anita with my life as a young baseball fan, I asked her if she'd like to return to her own youth, at least for one day. She thought about it and said that she'd like to go back to a holiday lunch with her mother in a downtown Pittsburgh restaurant called the Blue Room, where my mother also took me for a holiday treat. Anita can see her mother peering across the room, spotting a beady-eyed kid with a gravy stain on his jersey, and warning her daughter, "Don't you ever end up with the likes of him." It wouldn't be easy convincing Anita to marry me. She actually told me to hit the road when we returned to Edinburgh after that Christmas holiday. But after I pouted and didn't talk to her for 2 years, we started seeing each other again. As for my misery after all the losing seasons, I keep reminding myself of what Anita has been telling me ever since our marriage almost 60 years ago. Despite all my errors and losing ways, she'd rather be miserable with me than without me. Once, when Anita and I were in the neighborhood co-op, a listener approached us and asked if I was the Reading Baseball guy. Flattered, I said I was, but they turned to Anita and said, "Then you must be the famous Anita." My last thank you on this 400th broadcast goes to the game of baseball. I can't imagine doing a Reading football or Reading basketball series, but baseball's long and rich history is a dream subject for a storyteller. Over the years, I've shared my love of baseball with listeners that began in my childhood and continues to this day. The novelist Henry James once said, "You can write on anything as long as you make it interesting for readers." I can only hope that I've made baseball interesting for our listeners. I don't know how much longer I'll be doing Reading Baseball, but Brad Palmer wondered if I'd become the longest and oldest sports broadcaster in NPR history. I couldn't tell if that was a compliment or a hint. This is Pete Peterson for Reading Baseball.